Congratulations.
You're listening to Congratulations Pine Tree. We are, sure enough, still recording interviews for our old Root Division audio tour we're working on, which opens on
September 12th.
You actually know that now?
I think.
Hopefully that's correct. Point is, so we're out on the road here, and we're at, oh, well, this is Kate Rhodes, by the way.
This is Maysoon, by the way.
And that's Waz Waz. And we're at Yerba Buena Center for the Arts over here in Radical Presence, Black Performance and Contemporary Art. It's the show they got up. And we're going to tell you a little bit about it while we're in here.
Right now we're standing in front of this piece by
Satch Hoyt.
Satch Hoyt. It's called Say It Loud. And he has, it's a stack of books
that create a kind of elevated podium where you can go up and there's a working microphone and you can interact with this piece. You can step up and say it loud.
So the song is James Brown's is Say It Loud, I'm Black and I'm Proud. And he, the artist, has bleeped the I'm Black part. And so you can go up and say I'm whatever you want to be in that moment or say whatever you are in that moment.
Got to tell you, Maysoon, not real comfortable going up there and saying anything as a white person.
Well, I don't think you can only, I think you can say other things.
Like what?
Like I was thinking, I go, I'm a woman and I'm proud. Although it's really hard to say that quickly, actually. So James Brown had something on us all, obviously.
Okay. Love it. I like the books. I like anything made out of book.
One thing I always wonder about projects like that, it's like, it's such a great project, but when it's not activated, like, I want to see people up there, like, saying things. Like, it can't always happen. I'm sure during the open there are people, like, crazy saying things, which would have been so awesome to see.
You want to see other people do it and not just, you feel like you don't, you know, it's a little intimidating. But when somebody else is up there.
It's intimidating for me. Like, I feel like kids might be good at it. I'm like, I want to get back. Hey, excuse me, little girl, do you want to go say something? Like, I won't do that. I mean, although I do think it has, like, its own, I mean, it's a strong work without someone also on it. You know what I mean? I don't think it doesn't lose everything without having the public interaction, which is good.
Which is great.
We got our table over here where they've been holding court.
Yep.
Miss Brontez Purnell last night, and that was one I was real excited about.
Yeah, me too.
We're back here at the front at the videos that are on actual cube screens rather than flat screens. These are the old school.
I love these screens.
They have a lot stronger presence
than
a flat screen.
Oh.
Because they're actually present in the third dimension.
In the third dimension. Well, that's three-dimensional.
Love this table. Great preparator work on this show.
Good job, preparators. We love you.
Back into some of the farther galleries we have. Tamika Norris did this piece, which is untitled.
I have a problem where I have a really bad gag reflex. I'm not against it. I just, it like hurts. I need you to read it aloud to me while I look at the blank.
Okay. So, you know, the little didactic here explains that she, Tamika Norris, the artist, she paints a wall using her body. This is from the didactic, as both tool and medium. Dressed in coveralls, she runs a knife through a lemon before cutting her tongue and pressing her body against the gallery wall. She uses the trail of blood and saliva to create a minimalist landscape. The residual painting disrupts the notion of a pristine institutional space, implying the presence of a body and its experience of violence and pain. So you have a high going from one end of a wall across that whole wall to a corner and then onto the next wall, all the way to the end of that wall, and then two streams, one where she must have been down on her knees,
yeah,
and one where she must have been stooping,
I guess. Yeah, I don't
know. This piece is the one that made me most sad that I wasn't here for the performance of this.
Did she do this after the opening?
I think it was at, I'm assuming it was at the opening.
God damn it.
Right? Don't you, I wish I could have seen that. I mean, it's powerful as it is, but actually seeing it done, because she also wears a pair of red coveralls when she's doing it,
which is hanging on the wall also, so you have a sense of the body, obviously. It's like a, sometimes body art, it's like I understand it, I think conceptually it's really important and strong, but I can't get I can't get too close. I have really strong reactions, which maybe the artists want.
Yeah.
Maybe they want me to puke in the corner.
You're not gonna puke, are you? Please don't. I've been puked on for work before, and I didn't enjoy it. I wish I had a glove on, at least.
Right now? So you'd be safe?
Yeah. Actually, it was a very similar situation to this, only instead of a recording audio recorder, I had a camera in my hand. So you've got Sherman Fleming getting wax dripping down to onto his back while he's on his hands and knees. And at one point, there's a woman standing just behind them. Standing just behind him with a camera, and we're debating whether or not she knew she was going to be in this video.
The video forever and ever. The video from 1993.
And now she has been immortalized. What do you think that does for the work? I kind of feel like seeing the audience sometimes makes it a little more real.
Yeah. I don't know. I think in video format, I don't necessarily love it. I think, obviously, you're in the performance, you see everyone interacting in different ways. Like, they probably wouldn't have preferred her in their video in the long run, but maybe that was the only shot they had of, you know, to use. I don't know. I like that she was using an old film camera, though. She was, like, focusing it manually.
Probably didn't have digital ones at this time.
No, I'm sure they didn't. That's a nice reference to time, I guess.
A lot of, like, abjection in the work in this gallery.
The woman in this video has cold water dripping on her. We're both like withstanding
torture
basically.
Ooh, got a little Coco Fusco over here. Went and saw Coco Fusco's performance the other night. I loved it.
I know, I want to hear all about it.
It was pretty, you know. I talked to somebody after who they did have one criticism that it was a little dry, and because of the mask, she doesn't have like her full range of expression. But I thought like that kind of made sense, because if you ever watch the Planet of the Apes movie, but I liked it. It was kind of a dry, kind of academic lecture, but I thought it was really interesting.
What was the lecture on?
Predation in humans. So it's like Dr. Zira from Planet of the Apes is giving a lecture from the perspective of an ape on human behavior. Yeah. And so it's like kind of an interesting, like, it's all things we always think about, like gentrification and like, you know, wealth disparity, but like talking about it like as the alpha males dominate the race of humanity and how they like are constantly stealing resources from everyone else, funneling resources to the tiny group of alpha males that run our society. And I just thought that was awesome. But the best part to me was the Q&A, because she took questions in character as Dr. Zira.
Yeah.
Except I felt like the people asking questions, and this is also criticism directed at myself, because I could have come up with a cool question and gone up and asked it. There was nothing stopping me except my own fear. But yeah. I felt like the questions were like really regular. Like they didn't really go out on a limb and be like talking to a fucking ape.
In hindsight, what were some questions you would have asked Dr. Zira?
I don't know, just more things about like Ape City.
Like ape culture.
Yeah. There were actually some good questions that I thought were kind of fun and funny, like asking about her take on like the Republican debate. The presidential debate. Maysoon hates that, but I thought that was funny. But I really loved it.
How did she respond to that?
She talked about it like as like an anthropologist, like a sociologist would, about like how like they're alpha males and how they use like dividing tactics to divide up like the opposition to make them fight amongst each other. So they, while that's happening, they can just steal more and more resources.
That's amazing.
There's videos. I'll put a link. There's a video of her doing it at another place, I think back in like 2013 or something, if
I
you want to.
Everyone is going to post the video of this one, though, too.
Oh, really?
That's what I saw on Facebook.
And then afterwards, Deborah Cullinan came out and she was like, don't forget to give money to Yerba Buena. Oh, yeah. And I was like, you know, you go, Deborah Cullinan, because like, I feel like Yerba Buena doesn't get enough credit sometimes that they do cool stuff here.
She is good at that, you know, like she's amazing at that. That's her job.
She could be a politician.
She could be she is a politician.
She should run for mayor.
No.
Okay. Back here with Pope L. And this piece is called Syllogism. FYI, a syllogism is an instance of a form of reasoning in which a conclusion is drawn, whether validly or not, from two given or assumed propositions. Oh, that's not really jerking off. That's just putting your dick in a cookie jar.
Well, no, but there was a moment. Remus cock, rebus cock.
I'm assuming this is why there were little curtains over these video screens.
Oh, yeah, good point.
Oh, that's a syllogism, is like, Socrates is a man, all men are mortal, therefore Socrates is mortal.
Oh.
Socrates is a pussy. Okay, I love this work. Does seem like a little bit of a fire hazard. He's going for it. I love it. Maysoon is the most prudish art person in the world. Popel, just FYI from our little didactic over here, his business card identifies him as the friendliest black artist in America. Seems like a fire hazard.
He's a fire hazard?
Well, just the lights and the wax. Peanut butter, joint compound, vegetable oil, matte medium, and paint joined together to create a performative action over time in the form of chemical alterations to the substance. So you can walk up these little steps over here. There's some nicely painted little steps where you can walk up and peep your head over a short wall, a temporary wall. Look down, and there's a whole bunch of sludge, brightly colored sludge.
Really brightly colored sludge.
Going down, and against a window, so you can look out, see the people walking by on the sidewalk, check out some... And it's hot up here, man, though, because these lights, I think... Well, the lights aren't that hot. Well, I think it's just the sunshine.
Kind of has a little bit of a Play-Doh smell in here.
Kind of funny, the curtains. There's no, like, there's not a disclaimer.
But there's a little, like... It's like a peep show, almost. You, like, lift this little curtain, and then you might get a glimpse of, a
dude rubbing his dick against a pie tin.
A nice cream pie.
You gotta check out this show. It's up till October.
Check out the show for sure. There's a lot of...
I mean, we're only telling you about a tiny fraction of all that there is.
The Metreon.
That's right.
We're over here in the Metreon food court. All right, people, listen, you're just gonna have to bear with us.
Yeah, sorry.
So
we actually don't have an office downtown that we can use. It's quiet.
If anybody wants to donate us some office space in San Francisco,
give us a shout out. congratulationspinetree@gmail.com.
Or you can give us a call, 419-351-6606. You can tweet us at Pine Tree Podcast. Don't forget our website, congratulationspinetree.com.
We'd like to thank our sponsors, Google.
Hell no. Although they do, our Blogspot is a Google subsidiary. Anyhow, point is, people, if you listen to the last couple of shows, you know that I've been bitching and moaning about CCA's research group on Andrea Fraser, and sure enough, finally, Patricia Maloney had very much pity on me and somehow got it so I could come to their next meeting.
What? You are crazy. Amazing. Good job.
Thank you so much, Patricia Maloney.
Totally.
Taking a chance. Taking a chance on a dream.
That might mean you'll have a conversation with Andrea Fraser in like a small group format.
Hell no, I won't. I think I'm probably just going to be able to go to this one because she's hosting this one. So, and I think she was like, I'm going to...
Are you doing the reading on it?
Yes, I have the readings. I actually read them for my other weird audio project, Theory Reader. So if you go to theoryreader.com, there's a reading from an essay by Melanie Klein and one by Pierre Bourdieu called The Right to Speak.
Okay.
And you can listen to those. And please do listen to those and explain them to me. I get the Bourdieu.
Bourdieu.
Yeah, I read them out loud, so you can just listen to me trying to get through these. I can't pronounce anything in French, so that's a big hurdle. But
I also just want to see if you can read them yourself.
Oh, yeah. Let me know if you want the PDFs. But, God, the Melanie Klein one, it's like all psychoanalytic theory, like I was saying, Maysoon, and it's about the good breast and the bad breast and, like, fucking transference and projection and introjection.
Oh, God, wow. I don't even know. I feel like I'd need, like, 5 years of research or study to understand any of that.
It's the good breast and the bad breast and object relations.
Good breast and a bad breast.
I don't know if it's a real thing, but that's kind of what I got out of it.
Not like whether or not you're a breastfed?
Well, a lot of psychoanalytic theory is kind of assuming that you were breastfed, that you're from a nuclear family, that you're from, like, a white European family that's very, like, repressed.
Right.
A lot of, like...
pretty much always true.
Psychoanalysis has been discredited by the psychology community, hasn't it? Nobody does that anymore. It's all about cognitive behavioral therapy.
I mean, I would say that's the more common practice today, but it's not been totally discredited.
I think it's pretty much the only place you really find people doing psychoanalysis stuff is in the art world and in Woody Allen movies.
How about somewhere in Europe?
No, man.
Not even there?
No, because this is all outdated. They were like, you know, maybe you wanting to have sex with your mother isn't the core of all your psychological issues. Mason stuck her tongue out. Let it be known.
Oedipus.
Yeah, exactly. Anyhow, I don't give a fuck. If Andrea Fraser thinks it's important, then I will read it and I will take it seriously. All right, what's been going on with you, Maymay?
Well, this past week was Courtney's going away. Farewell from SOEX. Courtney Fink, farewell from SOEX. It was crazy. It was a big deal. It felt like a real marker in the arts community. Don't you think?
I am one of the people that's scared and nervous now that Courtney's going. I'm worried still. You haven't alleviated my fears about Courtney not being there anymore.
I'm sorry that I have not. You can be scared. That's fine. You can be nervous. We have no idea who's going to be hired for that position. But I do think the organization's in a good place. I don't think Courtney would leave it if she felt like it was really not going to be okay without her. There were some really good performances that took place at the farewell party. Cliff Hengst did an incredible performance.
Lip syncing. It was like drag without drag.
But I don't remember who. Do you remember who it was that he was lip syncing to? It was amazing. It was like a live concert that he was lip syncing to. John Hershen did some...
He did a toast that turned into like a participatory edition of... Lucky Star by Madonna.
That's right. Thank you. That was funny. You took part in that. It was really sweet. Good people there. I don't know. Courtney, we'll miss you. We know you'll be around.
Come over to my house. I left my address in the guest book.
Did you?
I really did.
Well, actually, listeners of Congratulations Pine Tree will be interviewing Courtney probably in the next week, so...
Ooh, send in questions. If you have questions for Courtney, tweet them in or text them in or whatever you want. Email them in. We'll ask her.
We'll ask her for you.
Time for new segment. I feel like we make a new segment every other episode and then never do that segment again.
We basically just trash it. We're like, that sucked. Skip.
No, I like this one, and this one's our pick of the week.
Pick of the week.
And my pick of the week this week is a zine I got over there at Alley Cat Books.
Sure is.
On 24th.
That's right.
And it is called Vanifesto, A Meditation on Van Lust by Hadassah Deluxe. And this is a small black and white $1 zine you can get over there on the zine rack that's all about van lust, wanting to get a van and wanting to travel the world and start a band and shit like that, and a lot of gay stuff. Here's a little tidbit. Van drivers of the world, we are doing important not work. Van travel is part of resistance because you are not commuting to work in any traditional sense of the word, if you're working at all. Even if it fits into a money-making scheme, something illicit or at least untaxable is going on. At least that's how I make it work. Van travel is a cure for the anxiety born of the urban condition, the slow enclosure of the head that pushes good ideas out our guts instead of through our brains. And it goes on like that, and there's a breakdown of different vans you can get. The plus and minuses of it, talking about biodiesel conversion, all that kind of stuff. So go pick up that zine. I don't remember how many copies were left, but if you can't get that one, there's some other zines there that are also cool. Maysoon's pick of the week.
My pick of the week this week is the Deappropriation Wall on Valencia Street, right at 24th. It's a wall that is part of the old Mission police station that now the building's owned by artist Bruce Tom and his wife Mary. And it's just, it's not curated. I mean, the only thing that's managed by Bruce is if people put up, it's a poster wall, basically. It's often, you know, a lot of political protest posters, art posters with some kind of social or political commentary go up there. I've posted many things up there myself. The only thing Bruce will curate out is if it's like some advertisement. You know how you see those posters where like, he'll take stuff like that out. He also says no staples. So if there's staples up there, he'll pull those off too.
Very important part of the mission culture there.
Sure is.
Trying to maybe counteract some of the other things going on Valencia Street.
Sure does.
That's a great pick.
This week's incantation is on compassion.
Let's do a quick one for compassion in the art world. Maybe every once in a while in the art world, you might develop a nemesis of some kind. Somebody whose success brings you great frustration.
Oh, God, one of those, like, one-upping situations, huh?
I'm not from a personal point of view. I'm just saying if there's anyone out there who might want to build their compassion, you know, we all could use a little more compassion for others. Let's do a quick incantation for that. So go ahead, lay down all the way down on the ground, wherever you're listening to this.
You might want to light a few candles, turn the lights off, open the window for a cool breeze.
If you have a window. If you don't have a window, have somebody come in and blow on you.
Maybe someone can fan you with an old magazine from the bathroom.
That's right. Pick some fucking way to lay down. And just close your eyes. And just think about all the people that you hate.
Think about, maybe try to find something good about that person. Anything small. You like their hair color. Maybe you like when they wear the jeans that you hate. It makes you feel happy, but you still like it.
I don't understand that one. I think it also another effective thing can be in your mind, picture the person that you have some animosity towards and de-age them. Think of them slowly, Benjamin Button style, going back into being an infant and look at that baby and say, how can I hate this baby?
That's a good one. I like the de-aging.
And
baby, that's crazy.
And just then imagine that baby like turning into a ball of light and that ball of light going into the brain of the adult person you were thinking of. Then that light goes out and it grows and grows until it shines all over all of humanity. And that is the healing light of compassion. Clap 3 times.
You could maybe do like a little yelp or something 3 times.
Let all the negative, all the hateful energy go out through your sounds that you're making.
Mm-hmm. Yep, sounds good.
And then open your eyes and see the world anew.
See the world anew. Let us know how that works out for you.
I already feel more compassionate just talking about this.
Good. I'm going to have to listen to this episode multiple times this week. Great.
I see that music in the schools for the younger generation. It's actually becoming part of their daily life. In terms of like private lessons.
Congratulations. You listened to another episode of Congratulations Pine Tree. Thanks for bearing with us through our time as a traveling little show here.
Through all of our sound experiences. And thanks again for listening. We love ya.
Take over, like, what we call the musical industry.